Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you into the 9 o'clock hour we go. And we go to the hotline right now. We're going to talk Texans and Packers and get the Green Bay side of things. Marcus Eversole, afternoon host, 107.5. The Fan in Green Bay, Better Call Eversole, the name of his show. I was on his show yesterday. He joins us on Payne and Pendergast today. Marcus, good to have you on the show. How are you doing this morning?
Doing very well. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to have you, man. So what are they saying right now up in Green Bay? We'll dig into some of the details of the game right now, but what's the energy level for this game between a couple really good young quarterbacks and a couple really good football teams?
A lot of energy, definitely a game that we've all had circled on the schedule ever since it came out back in the spring. As you said, I think a lot of similarities between these two teams. Of course, the quarterbacks, Jordan Love and C.J. Stroud, two of the best young quarterbacks in the game. And there's honestly, you know, not to divert into the aesthetics of athletics, but there's a lot of energy in the locker room right now about the uniforms the Packers will be wearing. They're for the first time wearing an alternate white helmet. So they'll be wearing white pants, white jerseys, white socks, and an all-white helmet. So, I mean, you know how the younger generation is, and I still am barely part of it, I think. They get really excited about stuff like that. So it's a big game feel and new uniforms. And the only thing, like we talked about yesterday, the only thing that's a little confusing is how in the world this game got the noon treatment, and it's not a primetime game.
Yeah, it's a noon game, and yet it gets Tony Romo. It's getting some of the treatment that way. I don't get it either. Other than that, it's a Houston sports team. They love to put us at midday whenever possible. Yeah. AL, the baseball playoffs, whatever it is. Yeah, put it at midday. I think the biggest thing from this offseason, Marcus, is that Jordan Love and C.J. Stroud, in a lot of ways, have been in a lot of the same conversations. And yet, Packers fans are annoyingly so polite that they wouldn't even do us the honor of like hating CJ Stroud. They would say things like, I would listen to our national show that takes a lot of calls. It would always be a Packers fan saying, hey, everybody, I know that CJ had a good year, but what about Jordan? He did pretty good too, right? So that's about as indignant as Packers fans will get. Is that a fair assessment that I think a lot of Packers fans have thought, like, hey, look, like, Jordan Love did a lot of these things that C.J. Stroud was doing last year.
I think that's fair. I think if C.J. Stroud were a Chicago Bear, then that would be a very different reaction, obviously. But, I mean, what's not to like about C.J. Stroud? And what's not to – the Houston Texans, you guys know the history a heck of a lot better than I do, but I know the gist of the history, and there's not much good history there. So from, I think, a Packer fan's perspective, there's almost a respect and like a deep breath or a sigh of relief. Like, well, you know, good for the Houston Texans. Maybe it's just a Midwest nice thing, but I definitely feel like there's a respect for the Texans because they haven't been here. And after, you know, decades of mediocrity at best, then you get a franchise quarterback who looks like, I mean, you guys are in, you think about the best young quarterbacks in the sport and setting yourself up for success in the future. With C.J. Stroud on a rookie contract, that's like a cheat code, you know? It doesn't happen often. So, I mean, we know here what a big challenge it'll be on Sunday, but yeah, there's definitely a lot of respect for C.J. Stroud because how could there not be?
Marcus Eversole, 107.5 The Fan in Green Bay, joining us. Marcus, Packers offensively, Josh Jacobs was a huge signing for them this offseason. They move on from Aaron Jones, and they bring in Josh Jacobs – How surprising was that move in Green Bay? Were you guys surprised by that move? And can you kind of frame for us what Josh Jacobs has meant to this offense so far this year?
I was shocked at the move. And literally, I mean, everything about the running back position this offseason was the opposite of what we all expected, meaning Aaron Jones to end last season had the best five-game stretch of his career. Now, he's in his age 30 season now, so that's always kind of the benchmark, as you guys know, where running backs can kind of, father time can catch up to him. But to end last season, Aaron Jones literally had the best five-game stretch of his NFL career, and everybody expected that they'd bring him back, that he'd either take a pay cut, which, by the way, he did multiple times for the Packers. Apparently, he didn't want to go as low as the Packers wanted him to go, and business is business when that's the case. If you ask someone to take a pay cut and they say they're not going to go that low, then you have to be prepared to move on from them. So everybody expected Jones to be back on a reduced salary or a restructured deal. He was not. He goes on to the Vikings. The Packers signed Josh Jacobs, younger, bigger, more durable theoretically, but also Jacobs, even though he's younger, 3 years younger, has more career touches than Aaron Jones. And I think you could still make an argument that Aaron Jones, as of whatever the date is, October 17th, 2024, you could make a compelling argument that Aaron Jones right now is still better than Josh Jacobs. That said, Jacobs has been pretty solid. He doesn't have the sexy running style. He's not the home run hitter that Aaron Jones is. Just gets a lot of tough yards between the tackles, bouncing off guys rather than the jump cut stuff, getting down the sideline and taking it to the house. But guys, the Packers right now, 6 weeks into the season, they are second in the league in rushing, second to only the Baltimore Ravens, averaging 167 yards a game. So it looks different. I was shocked at how they handled the running back position because everybody expected Jones to be back. But you're kind of seeing what they envisioned when they made the move to Josh Jacobs because you can't really say a bad word about him. It looks different. Like I said, it's not as flashy as the running style of Aaron Jones, but they definitely lean heavily on the run. The numbers are a little skewed, of course, because they had the two games with Malik Willis at quarterback. So I don't expect the run-pass split to be as balanced as it has been so far through 6 weeks. But the run game is definitely a huge part of this offense.
What's the biggest maybe either weakness or question mark about the Packers right now that you guys are talking about that maybe the national media or people at large aren't focused in on?
I mean, I hate to do it because talking about the kicking game can make for bad radio, which I guess says a lot about my show over the past.
Not around here. We're in love with our kicker.
Oh, yeah. We love Kymie Fairbairn. Go away. Okay. Hey, kicker talk away, Marcus. Go ahead.
Well, you guys have no drama there with it, but here it's so in the off. Okay. Ever since, let me back up. Last season, they had a rookie kicker, Anders Carlson. They drafted him in the sixth round. They never brought competition in for him because I think their thought process was, granted, they're going from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. They didn't know what to expect. They didn't have real expectations. They won't come out and say that, but let's be real. They didn't think they'd be a kicker away from an NFC championship game. And guess what happened? They made a run late in the season. They got to the divisional round of the playoffs. They're leading the Niners by 3 points with 6 minutes left, lining up a 41-yard field goal, and their rookie kicker missed it. He missed at least one kick in the last five games. He missed at least one kick in 10 of their last 12 games. Needless to say, they decided to go a different direction in the offseason. They actually did something revolutionary, which is bring in competition for a crappy kicker. They had seven kickers in the building, seven kickers on the roster since the end of last season. Just, okay, can this guy compete? No. Get rid of him. Bring in a new guy. Anders Carlson versus Greg Joseph, the former Viking, was the competition throughout the offseason. Then at the end of camp, they decide neither of these guys is good enough, so we're going to bring in a guy off waivers from the Titans and Braden Narveson. He was their kicker through the first six games. He made 12 of 17 field goals and had another miss actually called back or negated because of penalty. So let's just call it six misses through six games. Finally, they said, screw it, enough is enough. This team is too good. We got to move on. So they bring in Brandon McManus, who of course was accused of sexual assault by two flight attendants stemming from an incident on the Jaguars team flight to London last year. Yeah. He says that situation has been resolved, so the Packers have a new kicker. Now, 10-year track record for Brandon McManus is pretty damn good, but ever since the Packers got rid of Mason Crosby, I guess I'm scarred, along with the rest of Packer Nation. that you're really, it's at a point now. Listen, it's a 3-point spread, guys. Yeah. You know, it's the Packers are favored by 3 on Sunday, and I can't help but think late game situation, you're lining up a new kicker in Brandon McManus. I think there's more confidence in him because he's done it for a decade. But that's a really long-winded way of saying that the kicking game is very much the biggest question with this team.
Well, and the Texans play a ton of close games. Like, they've played – DeMeco Ryans has been here for 23 regular season games. 14 of them have gone down to the final minute, and a lot of them have been decided by field goals, either by Kyahmi Fairbairn or by the opposition. So that is actually a relevant angle, I would imagine, to any Texans game, especially one where the spread is actually 3 points. Marcus Eversole, 107.5 The Fan in Green Bay, joining us on the program. The biggest topic with respect to the Packers that we've been talking about today, Marcus, and this week, is this defense's ability to force turnovers. Take us inside that a little bit. What is it about this defense that has made them so good at turning the other team over this year?
Yeah, it's definitely a combination of things. Obviously, the change at coordinator from Joe Barry the last few years, very conservative style. Keep everything in front of you, but not get too aggressive. They go from Joe Barry, whose defense had 18 takeaways all of last season, 18 takeaways through 17 games. They bring in Jeff Hafley, a more aggressive 4-man front defense, vision based on the back end, and the Packers already have 17 takeaways through 6 games. So a league high 17 takeaways through 6 games. One takeaway fewer than they had all of last season. You chalk a lot of it up to the scheme, certainly, just the Hafley scheme mentality. And then from a personnel perspective, I mean, they went out and broke the bank on Xavier McKinney, and he's been sensational. He had an interception in each of the first 5 games of the season, got shut out last week, so I guess now he can say that he is overrated. But no, I mean, McKinney's been one of the best safeties in the NFL. And then, guys, for a pretty good defense, there's several rookies who have made a huge impact, highlighted by Evan Williams, the second safety they drafted. So they took Javon Bullard in the second round out of Georgia. He started every game, but they're kind of experimenting with Bullard as the slot corner now, depending on matchup, depending on who they're playing. And Evan Williams, this fourth-round rookie out of Oregon, going back to training camp, I mean, there are very few practices that I leave without an Evan Williams highlight to talk about, number 33, which that was the first thing that stood out. It was like, oh, wow, they gave Aaron Jones' jersey number away that quickly. But, I mean, Evan Williams made sure he noticed him. He probably had a half dozen interceptions throughout training camp. He forced a fumble last week, punching it out like Peanut Tillman back in the day. Right now, I know Pro Football Focus is only one metric, and people get all up in arms about it and how valuable is it, whatever. Right now, the Packers have the top 2 graded safeties in the National Football League. Evan Williams, the fourth-round rookie, is number 1. Xavier McKinney is number 2. Again, that's only one metric, but could not be more impressed with what Evan Williams has shown thus far. So in terms of the turnovers, I think it's a combination of, 1, the more aggressive scheme, and 2, they just made some really wise moves in terms of personnel, because safety last season was by far the biggest weakness next to kicker, and they at least improved the safety position.
I know one of the question marks about Jordan Love last year was some of his decision making, and sometimes that's unfair with a young quarterback because you're looking at 2 or 3 situations that maybe tell more of a story than it should. How have those concerns fared this year so far?
Yeah, so this is going to sound like, you know, I don't know, first world problems or spoiled problems, I guess, because I'm going to compare Jordan Love to Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Love, by nature, is way more Favre than he is Rodgers in terms of he'll throw up some of those, I'll call them YOLO balls, like you only live once, screw it, let's throw it down there, try something, see if something works. It worked last week. His second touchdown to Romeo Doubs, they were blitzing on the play. He decided to chuck it deep to Dobbs, and it worked out with a touchdown. A few weeks before that, he tried something similar down the field to Dontavian Wicks, and it was a horrible-looking interception, very Favrean interception. So that's kind of his nature. Last week, though, he was lights out against the Arizona Cardinals, and that was really the first time all season that we saw Jordan Love play like he did down the stretch last season. When he turned things around in the middle of November last year, he had a stretch where he threw 21 touchdowns to 1 interception. I mean, his numbers were better than any quarterback in the NFL down the stretch last season through the last couple months. I feel like a big part of how he started the season was some of those questionable decisions. was the fact that he suffered that knee injury in the first game of the season against the Philadelphia Eagles on the third to last play, missed the next two games. And you're just trying to think back to, I know a lot of teams don't play the starters in the preseason. The Packers did not. The first team offense played a total of three snaps in the preseason. He threw a long touchdown to Dontavian Wicks and they got the hook. That was it. So you combine no preseason time, and then you get hurt in the first game of the season, take two games off because of the injury, come back, and you're still kind of working your way back into a groove. And I feel like last week was the first time we really saw things click for Jordan Love.
Marcus Eversole, 107.5 The Fan in Green Bay. Hey, Marcus, real quick, what's your prediction on this game?
If I had a coin on me right now, I would flip it, and I would tell you, I really think this game could go either way. We were talking yesterday, I do see a high-scoring game. Yeah. I think it probably comes down late fourth quarter. Hopefully it doesn't come down to the Packers kicker because, yeah. But I'm going to say at home, the Packers are going to win this one. I think both teams are flirting with 30 points. I'll say Packers 31, Texans 27 or something.
Yep, there you go. Marcus Eversole, 107.5 The Fan in Green Bay. Better Call Eversole, the name of his show. Hey, Marcus, appreciate you making some time. Really good insight. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Yep, take care. Have a good show today, man. Marcus Eversole joining us here.
On exit. Marquez, it's spelled M-A-R-Q-U-E-S.
Yeah.
Eversole, E-V-E-R-S-O-L-L.
Yep. Yep.
I spelled it wrong and it popped up. So just, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Get close to that and you can follow him.
Does a good job. Yeah. And sometimes people like to dip into the other, the other city as your team's getting ready. He does a good job.
The kicker stuff, I was getting super excited when he was going over the long laundry list of bad kickers. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, they got Brandon McManus there, who's just, despite whatever his off field issues were,
he's good.
He's a good kicker.
He's a good kicker. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Pain and penalty.
The Texans would have Texans would never harbor an alleged sexual predator never mind.
No, they would not. Yeah. They would not. Yeah. A lot of people weighing in on the cornerback safety potential acquisition for the Texans. Someone saying Patrick Peterson's on the couch right now. That's cool. You're not getting the Patrick Peterson from back in the Arizona days. That's the only problem.
Patrick Peterson's on the couch, and you always have to ask yourself, why is he still on the couch?
Correct.
Is it all right? If there's 31 other teams that are interested in Patrick Peterson, then why should the Texans be interested
when
in
him? When I last saw Patrick Peterson, he was getting cooked by Nico Collins to end the Steelers game last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yep.
You know who's out there? What about Steven Nelson?
Someone's texting about that. I was just going to run that one by you. Would you all be mad at a milk dud reunion with Steven Nelson?
We used to call him Mr. Defensive Holding waiting to happen.
That's what they used to call him back
that's
in Kansas
what they used
City,
to
man.
Call him Kansas City.
I mean, it doesn't fit real well on a jersey, but that's what
following
they call
the time tested strategy of the New England Patriots and being awesome at football but horrible at slogans.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So the Steven Nelson. Okay, I've been watching the Jim McMahon documentary and one thing about
Vince McMahon.
Yes, that as well. The Vince McMahon documentary. And one thing that Vince McMahon never would do is let personal feelings or grudge matches get in the way of business.
That's right.
And he would bring back in guys that had wronged him or that he had wronged and welcome them back into the fold. Man, I think it might be time for Steven Nelson. If he's in shape, I don't know what he's been doing.
Right. Yeah,
he retired. But he retired after he wasn't getting a lot of interest in free agency. So it's a question as to whether he's been staying in shape or not.
I would welcome last year's Steven Nelson with open arms right now with the injuries in this secondary. I know, Vince McMahon this thing and put the personal feelings aside. You know, that's the only thing you want to do. That's the only time we say Vince McMahon this thing and use it in that, positively. But I'm impressed with how closely you're paying attention to this Vince McMahon documentary. I got to tell you, you're pulling little nuggets out of this thing.
I'm taking notes and everything.
Yeah.
This is it's fascinating.
Yeah.
They did most of this before all of the allegations, the most recent allegations
nasty
emerged.
Stuff,
so you get like the newsreel version of all of that.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating as a business person how he operated.
He was something else, man.
His son has grown on me too.
Shane O'Mac.
Like this dopey fool, this nepo baby. And then after a while, I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't realize he was willing to do all this crazy stuff in the ring that nobody else would do.
Yeah.
Like, all right, this kid was really His father was going to withhold praise and responsibility unless he proved himself, and he took the challenge by the horns, and his father still didn't want to grant him that responsibility.
Even after falling like 80 feet off a cage and things like that.
Shane's aged well, too. Like, he's another two guys in this. Shane McMahon is like better looking as a middle-aged man than he was as a younger guy.
Yep.
And then what's his name? Bischoff.
Eric Bischoff.
Bischoff, I'm watching, like, Bischoff, you're seeing him in this interview, and then they're showing clips of him from when he was young.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the hell happened to this guy?
Yeah.
This guy is like a silver fox now.
He is.
He's just like a dopey IT guy early in his career.
He is. Bischoff's great, man. He's great. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Will Anderson took home some hardware yesterday. I'm assuming you get hardware for Player of the Week. The hardware that the Texans give to the player of the week is not Nick Caserio, not a big fan. We'll get to that and a whole lot more. We'll hear from Will Anderson coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I guess this qualifies as breaking news since it just happened in the last hour or so. We got a lot of people texting us about it. We'll get to Will Anderson and him winning Defensive Player of the Week in just a second. But we're getting a lot of people asking about it because one of the topics on the show today has been, what do the Texans need to look at acquiring? What position should they attack at the trade deadline here? And the people really want some help in the defensive backfield, as Seth was able to gauge on social media earlier this week and then subsequently demand that Nick Caserio make a trade in that area yesterday.
Yes.
How do you feel, Seth? This wouldn't be a trade because this guy is now out on the market, but Adam Schefter tweeting this within the last hour, Titans are honoring the request of former Pro Bowl safety Jamal Adams for his release. Adams is healthy and looking forward to his next opportunity. His agents confirmed this to Adam Schefter. So Jamal Adams, who is not in the same universe as the player he was when he was traded for two first-round picks by the Seahawks from the Jets back in the day.
Yeah, and has played very little in the last two seasons, 2022 and 2023.
Yeah.
Missed a bunch of games in 2022, played about half a season in last year. That doesn't do it for me. I think that Jamal Adams, if I want safeties who can't cover, then there's plenty of guys out there that don't have the name appeal of Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
It was one of the weirder trades to begin with when he went to Seattle originally, and now in Tennessee he's not played hardly at all. He's played 20 total snaps this season. So that doesn't do it for me. I honestly don't want a safety. I want a slot corner.
Yep.
I want a cornerback. I want a guy that can cover man. And that's what they need right now more than anything else.
A lot of people suggesting Xavien Howard on the text page. Like Xavien Howard, look, like Jamal Adams, gaudy resume, made a lot of money. I have no idea what he is now. Like, again, as you pointed out, Patrick Peterson's sitting on a couch. He's out there, but he is sitting on a couch. It's not as though people are that we know of banging down his door to get him on a team right now.
Xavien Howard has not been the same guy the last couple of years.
Right.
And I think that people are trying to figure out, okay, can we blame that all on Vic Fangio? Because plenty of defensive backs have done well with Vic Fangio. So I tend to think that, Xavien Howard might just be at that point in his career where he's not as good as he used to be for whatever reason. But having said that, there's I have zero objection to them seeing what he's got.
Sure.
Now, if that, and they might sign him. They might trade for somebody else and also bring Xavien Howard in. It gets dicey with the roster positions and everything, but I am intrigued by him. I'm more intrigued by him than some of the other guys because he's still relatively young. I don't think he's up past 30 yet.
Xavien Howard. Well, this we know about Xavien Howard too. He was campaigning to come here in the offseason.
Yeah.
He was basically like standing with a sign practically outside NRG Stadium, like that fullback back in the day, like that guy back in the day standing there. Hey, sign me, Texans. That was practically Xavien Howard on social media. He wanted to be a Houston Texan.
He's 31 years old.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right. I thought it was interesting too. We just got done talking to Marcus Eversole from Green Bay, 107.5, the fan up in Green Bay. It sounds like their safety situation is very similar to the Texans in that they Javon Bullard, the highly drafted rookie, they've bumped him down to slot corner, kind of like what the Texans have done with Petrie. And Evan Williams, the rookie fourth-round pick, is playing a lot of safety now for this team, similar to Kalen Bullock, the rookie third-round pick of the Houston Texans. It sounds like they're kind of doing a lot of the similar moving parts in the secondary to the Houston Texans. Doing a little better because they're turning teams over a whole lot more right now.
Very opportunistic defense here. This is and very explosive on offense. So the Packers lost to the Vikings, but I think they're the only team that scored more than 20 points versus that Vikings defense. Jordan Love had four touchdown receptions in that game, or four passes in that game. So they're the real deal offensively, and they've got the ability to hit the deep strikes. They've got the ability to hit explosive runs. So this will be a much bigger challenge than the Texans have had the last couple weeks. And that's no shade at Josh Allen. It's just that Jordan Love has better weaponry around him than Josh Allen does right now.
No doubt. Big step up in weight class for sure for the defense. Will Anderson won his first ever AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Huge week, 8 tackles, 3 sacks, 4 TFLs. He leads the league in tackles for loss right now. He's tied for 5th in sacks. He's making that jump that we were all hoping and expecting for in year 2. And his numbers looked a lot like J.J. Watt's numbers used to look back in the day. In fact, he was asked about that yesterday at his locker during open locker room on having a J.J. Watt type day on Sunday.
I respect this game so much, and I look up to J.J. Man. He's been a great, you know, role model in my life. He's been helping me, you know, keeping me encouraged and everything like that, man. And you just got to keep going. Can't get comfortable. And I think Coach Ryan's, he always hit it on the head, man, just staying on edge. And that's for me and my mentality, that's how I always operate, man. It's like, yeah, that's good, but, like, what's next? What you going to do now? So it's just about just enjoying the process, man, loving this process, falling in love with this process, man, to keep growing, keep getting better each week. And that's just my biggest thing is how can I get 1% better each week and how can I stay consistent as long as possible until the end of the season.
He's encouraging you. Are you guys in communication?
He texts me. He's like, have a day, man. And he always texts me every time, you know, something good happens or if you see something, man. And like I said, he's been a great role model for me, man. He's been a great guy to have in my corner to help.
He's got the Will Anderson. It's almost like he's going to a fancy prep school with all the best teachers and tutors.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got J.J. Watt. He's got Danielle Hunter. He's got Jerry Hughes. He's got all these older good guys to lean on.
Derek
for
Barnett.
It's really cool.
Mario Edwards. It's Denico Autry, who he really likes. He feels like he's kind of had a little bit of a breakthrough with Denico Autry. We'll hear that in the next segment.
I like that Denico's going to come back. So Denico, who plays with an edge. Yeah. I like that he comes back under the gun of in the scrutiny of having had a PED suspension.
Yeah.
And that people are, you know, in his mind, I'm sure he's thinking like, oh, people are questioning whether I can still do it or not.
I hope he's thinking that way.
Yeah. Goes out and has, if he has any fewer than 4 sacks, I'll be disappointed.
Okay. I'm here for that. Fourth time this year, the Texans have had a player of the week. Kaimi's got 2. And Joe Mixon had one in week 1. And they unveiled the chain, the player of the week chain, that they've each gotten to wear. This thing's been passed around quite a bit now because they've won 4 out of 6 weeks. We've seen a Texan win one of these things. I'm a big fan of the chain. I think it's cool looking. It's the new H, you know. It's got all the various jewels on there. Who knows how much that thing costs to make. Little surprised. It doesn't seem like Nick Caserio, noted wrestling fan, you know, belts and things like that. Not a big fan. I don't think a big fan of the chain, the player of the week chain.
Look, I'm pretty low profile. I mean, I'm not a big car guy. I'm not a big clothing guy. I'm not a big jewelry guy. I know that surprises like the entire city
Shocking.
Of Houston right
yeah.
now. But so
you're not going to wear the player of the week chain around the locker room at any point this season?
Don't ask me about that, Sean. I don't think that's a good question that you should ask me.
Okay.
Yeah, that didn't sound at all. That didn't sound like a personal preference thing. It sounds like he's not a fan of the turnover chain.
Yeah.
Or, no, excuse me, not the turnover
player
chain.
Player of the week chain.
Yeah,
not at all. Which is very strange to me. Like, for a guy who really likes not just WWE, but like the glitzy characters of WWE.
Well, you know, like we struggle with this when we realize, oh, we got to fight. I got to tamp down the angry old man in me.
Yeah.
I got to tamp down the middle-aged dude in me. Sometimes when the players are doing stuff that's like very Gen Z-ish, that you're like, all right, yeah, that's fine. They're cool. I'm not a grumpy old man. The player of the week chain doesn't even feel like That doesn't feel like a generational thing. That feels like, oh, yeah, that's just a fun thing to do. What's Nick's objection to it?
They all look so happy when they're wearing it, you know? What are we against happiness here? Here's the thing I'm most excited about, Seth, is that the Texans have players that are worthy of being considered for player of the week on the regular. On a regular basis, the Texans, going back to week 9 of last year, that was the Tampa Bay game where CJ threw for almost 500 yards.
Uh-huh.
Half of the weeks since then, 8 of the 16 weeks of NFL football have had a Texan as a player of the week since then. Now 3 of them are Kaimi, but still.
Okay, so I wonder if it's this. Yeah. Maybe it's this, because this is how I used to be as a player. I used to get nervous sometimes when you see young guys spending a lot of money on jewelry.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those things where you're like, oh, man, and it's custom jewelry, too. It's not like a Rolex that you could sell back or something necessarily. Then I started to get nervous about just like, all right, man, just be sure you just be smart.
Yeah.
Maybe that's that part of him that just doesn't like seeing guys spend a lot of money on jewelry just because it's not a great long-term purchase.
Maybe. Do we know
same
who?
As like if you see a young guy with a $300,000 Lamborghini or something, you're like, oh, man, like really wish you would have just saved that money instead.
Yeah, no, totally fair point. Do we know?
Yeah.
We don't know who. I'll ask Omar, like who's because it's only one chain that they pass around.
Right.
It's not multiple.
Yeah.
Like, whose pocket did that come out of? Like, who had to pay for that?
If it was a player that did it, it was definitely a veteran player. So I think maybe Nick just doesn't like seeing too many guys get into the chain, jewelry and cars and all the other
stuff.
That's
interesting.
In general.
They get a whiff of it a little bit.
Yeah. Just try to live frugally as much as possible.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's a good, that's an interesting thought. Seth mentioned Danico Autry. What are we getting in Danico? What are we getting back in Danico Autry? And what is the intrigue level of this reunion coming up tonight, which you can hear on Sports Radio 610 later on tonight?
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, names of intrigue on the injury report today. The two linebackers, Azeez Al-Shaair, Henry Toa-Toa. Foley Fatakasi didn't practice yesterday. Robert Woods didn't practice. Jimmy Ward and Kamari Lassiter are both going to reportedly miss Sunday's game against the Packers, so they're kind of already on the back burner. They do get Danico Autry back, the Texans do. What are we getting back in Danico Autry? Here was the scouting report on Danico Autry from Nick Caserio, Texans GM, before the season started on this show.
Specific to Danico, I mean, this guy's a badass. I mean, this guy's a junkyard dog. Like, if you go into a dark alley, like, you want this guy behind you. Like, this is a bad MF-er. I mean, and a really good football player who cares about football, and we've had a play against him over the last couple of years and, you know, Tennessee, and then he was in Indianapolis, but you know, glad he's on our side, and, you know, we're excited about what potentially he could bring.
The two things about Danico Autry that I like, aside from everything that Nick just said, is one, he's very capable of rushing the passer, both from the defensive end and the defensive tackle position, but then especially for a guy who can rush from the inside, when it comes to chasing down quarterbacks and tackling them in space, he's really good at that. He's got a knack for forcing fumbles and getting his hands in passing lanes. A lot of the stuff that goes above and beyond just the sack totals. He does a really good job with that. So some of the Texans' pass rush this year, where they've got a boatload of pressures but not as many sacks, some of that has to do with being able to chase guys down in the open field. He's really good at that. So when you get into the scramble drill parts of things, I think he can be that one or two critical plays in a game where it ends up being either a sack instead of a quarterback scrambling for a first down, or him getting his hand on the ball to force a wobbly interception. That's very much in the cards with Danico Autry. And obviously he's going to have fresh legs. So yeah, when you want to start forcing more turnovers, doing more of the opportunistic stuff that the Texans started to do last week defensively, Danico Autry is a big asset in that regard.
We haven't seen him suit up for the Texans yet, so maybe this is an unfair question. Just we haven't seen him in this defense at all. We didn't even really see him much in the preseason. Once the suspension was announced, they almost treated him like he was suspended already. He didn't practice at all. I think some of that was medical. But there's a swap off going on here, Seth, with another suspended player. So you're losing Mario Edwards, you're gaining Danico Autry. I know it's not an even swap because they play different positions, but in terms of the impact, let's just eat what's on our plate. The impact on this game, the Green Bay game on Sunday, what's the impact of the swap out of Mario Edwards and the potential swap in of Danico Autry?
I think you're not gonna get the same presence as a run defender out of Danico Autry. I mean, and he can do, like, I'm not saying he can't make plays from the inside, but he's not a true defensive tackle. Yeah. And Mario Edwards is kind of a tweener type too, but he's built more like a defensive tackle.
Yes.
So I think that it's going to be the rotation of Kurt Heinisch coming back into the mix and all of the other guys that have been rotating at defensive tackle when it comes to stopping the run. I think it's mostly in the pass rush, and including Danico Autry as a defensive end. I think they're going to use him in both places. So the biggest boost will be in hopefully just getting the quarterback on the ground, getting hits on the quarterback. Without talking about sacks at all, okay, the Texans have pressured the quarterback a lot, but they haven't gotten that many hits on the quarterback. Yep. The actual quarterback knockdowns and hits are relatively low compared to how many pressures there are. Yeah, there is still something, even though you're not allowed to do it with as much viciousness anymore, there's something to just actually laying hands on a quarterback that takes its toll over time.
Yep, especially when the guy doing it is a badass, a junkyard dog, and a bad MF-er. Here's D'Amico Ryans yesterday on Danico Autry. Is he ready to go, Coach?
Autry, he's ready to go. He's been doing a lot of work. You know, while people weren't watching him, while he wasn't here, he put a lot of work in. And that's the biggest thing. And that's a credit to all our guys. And I really, with our sports performance group and the way they work with our guys when they're not here, like, it just shows how Dylan came back. Dylan was ready to go. Damian steps back in. Joe steps back in. Like, that's a credit to not just the football side, but our sports performance side, our training room, and how they have our guys prepared when they do get back. They're back and they're ready to be effective for us.
And Dylan is obviously Dylan Horton, the second year defensive end who just came back from cancer.
You know, somebody during training camp had pointed this out to me, and at first it freaked me out a little bit because they said, well, gosh, you're looking at Danico Autry, who's a guy in his 30s who ends up having 11 and a half sacks last year, where out of nowhere, and then he gets popped for PEDs. Like, all right, well, how much of that was potentially whatever supplement that, whether he knew or didn't know that it was a banned substance or what have you, how much of it might have had to do with that? When you go back and look, he had 11 and a half sacks last year. The two previous seasons, he had 8 sacks and 9 sacks the 2 years before that. But the total number of QB pressures and everything was just about the same. The TFLs, very similar. So he'd been producing at a really high level the last 3 seasons. This wasn't just, and he happened to get a couple extra sacks last year. But the QB pressures, like how successful was he as a pass rusher, is about the same. So I'm not overly worried about
that. No, this is one of those things. It's so arbitrary that double-digit sacks is a thing. You know what I mean?
Like,
the difference between 9 sacks and 11 and a half sacks, the way sacks work, there's enough randomness in sacks and running into sacks that aren't really your play that you made.
Yeah.
That you can, like, the difference between 9 and 11 and a half is to me, is
no.
That's not some sort of a PED siren going on. You know what I mean?
The one thing that I would say, though, too, is he had 50 combined tackles last year, where he never had more than 33 combined tackles in any of the previous four seasons leading up to that.
Okay.
So that there we go. There's a, yeah. Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
I mean, that's all we can do.
Hey,
knock wood.
You guys have a lot of veteran leadership. That's great, right? On the defensive line. Well, how are they all doing? Well, Mario Edwards is out with a substance of abuse suspension. Mm-hmm. But we're getting DeNico Autry back. Yeah. What's he back from? PED suspension.
PEDs, why do you ask?
Yeah. But these are great veteran leaders.
They are. They got framed. All right, I'll say it. They were framed.
Nick, it was interesting on the GM show. Nick sounded kind of like he had to bite his tongue about the Mario Edwards suspension.
Yes.
So I wonder what the backstory is there. It sounds like,
I feel like, I saw the same thing you did. He's like, he literally paused when Mark and John asked him about it, got this look on his face like he wanted to say something, and then said discretion is the better part of valor and moved on from it. And that felt like me, like he took some cough syrup or something like that triggered the test, you know?
My speculation there might have been either something like that, or because he had the PED suspension, he had a previous PED suspension, Mario Edwards did.
He did, yeah.
He might be in the program where you get tested a lot. And now this four-game suspension isn't a PED suspension. It's a substance of abuse suspension, which would be, you know, street drugs and what have you.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it was one of those things where he gets tested more frequently and he missed an appearance or something.
Oh, maybe.
Because they're really, man, they tell, once you're in the program, they test the hell out of you. And if they call you at 10 p.m. on a Saturday night, you got to be available and ready. And sometimes logistically they miss a phone call or whatever.
Dude, that's got to be the most liberating thing for a guy like that when you retire from the NFL. You're like, oh, I can smoke my weed all the time now. This is great.
Because they don't test for marijuana anymore, I don't think, unless you're in the program, and then it's a different deal. Yeah.
So
I have no idea, but it's here. For whatever reason, Casario looked like you thought this might be a little bit of a bogus suspension.
I read the same thing that you did from his look. How intrigued are you by the return of Sean Payton to New Orleans tonight? It's Thursday night football.
I forgot that was Thursday night football.
Yeah, it's Thursday night football.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I'm immediately intrigued.
Mm-hmm. You think he gets booed?
I hope he does something classless. No, I think they cheer the hell out of him.
Probably. He's still pretty popular there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll boo him. It's going to be a hero's
welcome. I'm going to boo him heavily because I'm not a big Peyton fan. But
the funniest thing is going to be Trevor Penning getting destroyed for 7 sacks when Sean Payton is the guy that fell for Trevor Penning's tough guy act and drafted him in New Orleans. Yeah.
Oh, TP. Yep. That'll be fun. That game you can hear, by the way, right here on Sports Radio 610.
I'm working on a cut up reel of DeNico Autry highlights from last year. Mm-hmm. And he put Trevor Penning in a clown.
You love
suit.
That. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That'll be good.
Will Anderson did last year too. Yeah. Will Anderson made Trevor Penning wear the gimp suit.
He did. That was the game that Will was mic'd up for that game. And that was a game where Will almost sacked Derek Carr like 6 times, but he didn't get him a single time. You know, he didn't get him on the ground. Will was, the whole mic'd up was Will being pissed at himself. Like, was this close? It was great. You can hear that game tonight, Denver at New Orleans, right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reggie Atatula,
yo,
in the house. How we feeling, gentlemen?
I am feeling so good.
Yeah. Warm is the word that I'll use here.
Warm?
Yeah.
It's nice outside.
Pretty weather, baby.
Yeah, it is. It is nice out there. So where are we on the amped up scale for the game right now? I feel like we're crescendoing at just the right time for this thing.
This is the word. This game to me, defines the word anxious.
Yeah.
Like a little bit of excitement, but a little bit of trepidation, a little bit of like, ooh, you know.
Cool. So I'll be less of the weirdo here. I feel like I generally move towards anxiety rather than like excitement, just generally in all portions of life, which I probably need to talk to somebody about. But yeah, that definitely begins to feel the case with this one as well. I start feeling the anxiety ramp up.
What are your expectations? Are you expecting them to win this game? Are you expecting a close game? Are you expecting a high scoring game?
Close game, I do not expect the Texans to win. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, that's okay.
They got to lose some.
I'm not picking them either. I got them in a close. Where are you feeling on this?
I'm not sure. I have expectations at this point because of how, I don't know, we haven't seen them offensively put everything together. Yeah. And then you're dealing with various injuries and like an injury report that popped up yesterday. And of course, you know, Wednesday isn't the time to panic. Thursday probably is. So we'll see what happens today.
Oh, yeah.
But
you guys are probably going to get to panic today.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And that's as big. I already established, that's something I move towards. But mm-hmm. yeah, like I think that once you see, you know, who's actually going to be there, then I could feel like I have expectations. But right now, I'm like, look, man, what is this defense going to look like? Not entirely sure. Like, well, you guys were just talking about Danico Autry. How does that actually come together? Yeah. And then offensively, I already had some trepidation about, like, seeing the full product come together. And the closest thing we got was last week. But they had a lull there where the defense had to hit the defibrillator and get them going again. Like, those are all things that sit in the back of my mind that I try not to vocalize too much, because then people be like, oh, there goes that negative dude.
You're all right.
Yeah, I'm not feeling super awesome about this one either, especially just being in Green Bay. It might be as simple as that. I think these are two teams that are close enough
right now.
And yet the Packers defense has been operating the way that I thought or hoped the Texans defense would operate, which is they force turnovers and by the boatload. And the Texans have only done that once versus a rookie quarterback. So this is versus Jordan Love. And I just, as beleaguered as they are right now, I'm not feeling awesome about this game.
I was not counting on the NFC North being as good as it is this year.
No.
I was not, like, when you talk about the Texans are going to have a hard schedule and all the reasons why, you're like, well, they play these quarterbacks now. Yeah. They have a first place schedule. And those games that are dictated by that haven't even happened yet. Dallas and Baltimore and Kansas City. I was not counting on the NFC North being the greatest division in the history of football through six games.
That's right. Yeah. Like, there was two teams that you probably knew were going to be there when you talk about Green Bay and Detroit. And then all of a sudden Minnesota comes out here and by hook or by crook.
Slaps you around.
Right? Like, there's that. And then thankfully you got Chicago when you did, because they look like they were at worst a nuisance in the way that they're going forward. Yeah, no, that's definitely a
there's gonna be
wild
some
division.
Fun games to watch in that division moving. And there's one this weekend. Minnesota plays Detroit this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I was not counting on this. I did not have this on my bingo card, as they like to say. It's a good NFC North.
The thing about Green Bay to me is like they're peaking at a good time right now too.
Yeah.
They seem to be having it going pretty well.
Well, and they were able to kind of navigate not having their quarterback
and now he's playing better.
Defense had
its best game probably last week.
Yep.
Yeah. Anxiety now, because I'm thinking, you made me think again about how Matt LaFleur lost his quarterback and was like, let's just find all the ways to run the football and be efficient that way too. Thanks
crazy.
A lot.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. Jump in the pool. The water's warm. All right, Seth, Football Friday tomorrow. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies? I'm going to go chop some wood.
Attaboy. Go show
some
off.
Calluses, my man.
Go show off for your in-laws. Yes. All right, good stuff. Appreciate all of you tuning in. You're listening to KILT, KILT HD2, an Odyssey station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.